Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Beitza Daf Yud. We begin four lines from the top of the Amud. We had a discussion now, Mishnah, regarding overriding an Issud Rabbanon on account of Simchas Yom Tov. And the Gemara is going to present an apparent contradiction. We have Shitas Beis Shammai, we have Shitas Beis Hillel. The question is, who said what? Says the Gemara four lines from the top. Ella Ikasha. Rather, if there perhaps is a contradiction, a kasha, between the Shitas, Hakasha is as follows. Yesterday we had an apparent contradiction between one Beis Shammai and the other, one Beis Hillel and the other. And the Gemara sought to resolve that difference by switching around the names, the Shitas. And the Gemara says, you don't really need to do that. Two separate halachas, unrelated. There's no contradiction whatsoever. Elo ikasha o kasha. But if there is a kasha to present, it's as follows. We have a Mishnah which says, "Beshame oimrim einoit l'nesa eli." You can't take hold of this cutting board, this block of wood, on which it would crush grain, so it's mukta. You can't even use it on Yom Tov l'katzev olav basar, to chop meat on it. It's mukta. So although he would like to use it for Simchas Yom Tov, we don't override the din muksa here. Tosis later on says, we're speaking that it's not just a simple klisha malachta l'isser, a kli which is intended for malacha purposes, it's more than that. It's something which is precious, something which is meant to stay in place. It's muktzu machmas chesaron kis, an account of monetary loss, and that has a higher ranking level of mukta, cannot even be used for permissible purposes. And even though it's at the expense of Simchas Yom Tov, that's Beis Shammai. Ubeis Hillel matir, and they say, no, go ahead and use it, which will enable him to proceed with Simchas Yom Tov to prepare his meat and his animal. Amma, apparently, when it comes to a Rabbanon concern in the face of Simchas Yom Tov, which one overrides? Amma got Simchas Yom Tov, Beis Shammai l'chumra, the machmer, they don't allow you to move mukta for that purpose. Ubisila lakula, Ubisila say, you know what, on account of v'samachta v'chagecha, we'll suspend the concern that the rabbanon have, the mukta. So we see b'shamay a machmer when it comes to Simchas Yom Tov, and b'sila makeli override the nisa the rabbanon. But we have a stir from that mishnah, which we already learned. B'kisi adam, shoyich et chayvay b'shamay oimrim v'chulu. Go ahead into Shechita, dig up some earth, Kisi Hadam, even though there's a Nisid Rabbanon there, he's been Makalkal, all kinds of svaris and concerns that we have. No problem, Simchas Yom Tov, to do a Shechita, an animal on Yom Tov, that overrides. And Bisil say, no, you cannot do Shechita unless you know you have ready-made offer. So when it comes to Simchas Yom Tov, Beis Shammai are the ones who take the easy route. They say, Lekula, and Beis Hillel Amachmer. That's a stira. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mechlavas Ashita. Says Rabbi Yochanan, apparently you have to reverse the opinions. And just as in the case of Kisi Adam, Beis Shammai I Mekel, Beis Hillel Amachmer, in the face of Simchas Yom Tov. Likewise over here, when it comes to the Mukta item, you have to switch the opinions. Beis Shammai I Mekel, Beis Hillel Amachmer. Mimai says, how do you know to compare two things? Perhaps you can easily differentiate. Ah, come like Amar Bishami Hasam. Perhaps only by Kisi Adam do Bishami say, go ahead, dig up the earth. Ela hecha de ikka deker notes. Because we're speaking that he had a spade already angled into the ground, in which case that removes any concerns. It's muchan and doesn't look like he's digging anything, as we already discussed in the sugi there. Since it has that factor, that mitigating factor that minimizes any concerns, we allow it to do it. But if you don't have that factor, such as in the case of the Muktzah, perhaps over here we can't allow it, even in face of Simchas Yom Tov. Inami, alternatively, you can say, perhaps it's only over here that Beisil say, you can go ahead and move this alley, this block of wood, to cut your meat, Ella the Ikater's Kli Allah, because it's a Kli. It's not something useless. So, though it's Muktzah, use it for this purpose. Aval Hosam Leib, when it comes to the Kisi Adam, where you're actually digging, it's a more severe situation, it's closer to Nisa Deraisa. Perhaps over there, they won't allow. So it's two different topics, two different contexts, and who says to compare the two things? Elo ikash yo kash. Rather, if there's something to ask, it's as follows. We have another Mishnah. Bishama Imrim, ain nois ninus oir lifnei adersim. So you flayed an animal in Yom Tov, you have the hide, the skin. You don't want it to harden. And you want to just place it on the floor near the traffic. Meaning have people step on it, to be durus on it, which would slightly benefit the ur. It's a partial processing job. It's not really the rice, it's not really ma'abid, but it's something which resembles a ma'abid, processing, which is a malacha. Don't do it on Yom Tov, say Beishamah. Don't put your oyer of the animal which you shechted today in a way which enables the pedestrians to step on it. You can't even lift it. It's muktzah elam ken yesh alav kazayis basar, unless it has a kazayis, a basar attached to it. So even though we're trying to help him do simchas Yom Tov, we don't allow it. Isn't the Rabban overrides? That's Beishamah. Well, Beisil Matir, Beisil allow you to move it, and to actually place it in a place where it's going to be stepped on. Why? Because we want to encourage you to shecht your animal Yom Tov. If we're not going to allow you to do this, perhaps we'll be discouraged from doing shechita at all. Alma, apparently you see, got a simchas Yom Tov. When there's a simchas Yom Tov factor at play, b'shamed l'chumra, they don't allow the simchas Yom Tov factor to override the Yisad Rabban, u'b'sil l'kula, they're meikle. We do away with the Rabbanon in order to allow the simchas Yom Tov. V'ramini, we have a stira from that Mishnah, Makisi Adam, we find the reverse. Hashem chayv be Yom Tov. When it comes to Simchas Yom Tov, B'Shamay Armeikel, B'Shil Az Machm, that's a stira. On Rabbi Yechonon, Mechlef Zashita, once again, let's switch things around. So that the Shitas are consistent with each other. And just as B'Shamay allowed the Kisi Adam, they allow handling the oyer of the animal. Just as B'Shil don't allow Kisi Adam, they won't allow moving around and handling the skin of the animal as well. Mimai says, well, how do you know to compare the two things? Once again, we can draw a distinction between the two. Dilmaloi, perhaps the two things are unrelated. Ad, kan like Amr Beishamay Hasim, perhaps it's only by Kisi Adam. The Beishamay are Mekel, because you have that factor at play, that minimizing factor, Lehecha Deka Deker Notz, you have the spade in the ground, which takes away the impression of Malacha Aval Lehecha Deleka Deker Notz, Loi. But when you don't have that factor benefiting you, you have oyer of the animal, which is going to be processed here. There's Issa D'Rabbanon, and don't override that, even on account of Simchas Yom Tov. So here, there's no Deker, no, it's Loi, meaning there's no minimizing factor. And therefore, we have a Machmer. Inami, alternatively, you can say, Ad kan loika amri b'sil hocha. Perhaps it's only over here, by the skin that b'sil allow it. Ela d'chazi l'mizgo iluya. Because this oyer, this skin, is suitable for use as a mat for sitting. And therefore, it doesn't really appear, it's not so obvious that you're trying to process it, you're trying to be ma'abed the oyer by having it stepped on. Perhaps you're just using it. It doesn't give that impression of malach, and therefore, it's not as severe, not as serious. Aval hasam loy, but when it comes to kisi adam, where it appears like he's doing a malach, perhaps over there you can't. So once again, why are you comparing the two cases? Ela yikashi ha'kashi. Rather, if there's a kashi, it's as follows. We have another mission. B'shama imrim in mesalkin es ha'tresim b'yom tov. Tresim were the doors used to cover up, close up, these storage cubicles. So the merchant wants to open up his storage, provide some yom tov products for the oilam. B'shama say you can't remove the tracing. Can't take it off, can't put it back on, because it resembles binyan, building, crafting. It's also even on Yom Tov. U'beisil matir nafla hachzer, beisil say, not only could you remove it, there's no concept of building here, you can remove it and afla hachzer, you can even restore it, put it back in its place when you're done selling. Alma apparently got a simchas yomtiv. When there's a simchas yomtiv at play, b'shamer l'chumra b'sila l'kul. B'shamer say we can't override, we can't suspend a concern that the rabbanon have something that appears like boina can lead to boina to melachim, even in the face of isadra of simchas yomtiv. U'b'sila l'kul b'sila say because it's simchas yomtiv, we do away with these concerns. For a minute, we have a stira from that mishnah of Kesi Adam. We find that the shittas are reversed. Hashechet chayivayv biyamtiv. B'shamay are the ones who are makel on account of simchas yamtiv. And b'sila is machmer. Says the one, you know what? I can understand the two b'shamays. B'shalay b'shamay b'shamay the kashi. I can explain why we find that difference in b'shamay. Awesome, the ikka deka nards. Oh, because over there by the Kesi Adam you have that spade inserted in the ground, in which case it's ready made earth. It doesn't look like he's digging. There's no concern there. Hocha leka deka nards, as opposed to the tracing, these lids, these doors, you don't have this deka nards factor. In other words, you don't have any mitigating factor. It's close to malacha. There's a real concern there, and therefore there's no reason to allow it. So you understand the difference in Beis Shammai. Here there's a chashash, here there's no chashash. Ela Beis Hillel, a Beis Hillel kasha. But what are you going to do with this steer in Beis Hillel? When it comes to Kisi Adam, can't do it. Even if there's Simchas Yantiv at play. When it comes to tracing, they say, remove the doors from the storage cubicles, no problem. Even though it appears like binyan. Here comes Rabbi Yechon. He says, apparently, the shita has to be switched around. And just as Beis Hillel, in the case of Kisi Adam, don't allow it, they won't allow in the case of Siluk Tracing as well. There's another Gerusha in the Gemara. Inami, or Dilmalohi. The Gemara comes back and says, one second. You could even answer the stira in Beis Hillel. Maybe it's only over here that they allow it to remove that lid, that door from the closet. They hold that building. It applies to an in-ground structure, to a building, to a house. But a kli, there's no binyan, there's no stira. And therefore, what are you worried about? But when it comes to Kisi Adam, it's close in nature to a malacha, to a chayfer, etc. That's why they don't allow. So even according to Beis Hillel, we can very well understand why when it comes to Kisi Adam, they're machmer. When it comes to this halach of Masiluk Tracen, they're mekel. So bottom line is, we have no reason to reverse any shittas. Everything is fine. So in conclusion, the Gemara seem to have a stira between Kisi Adam and Siluk Tracen. Rabbi Yechon says, let's switch the shittas. Just as by Kisi Adam, Beis Shammai is machmer. Beis Shammai is makel by Simchas Yomtiv. Beis Hillel is machmer. Likewise, in the case of Mesalkin and Satresim, we have to line up the shittas. And according to the second Gersa at the end of the Gemara, no, we found a way to reconcile this apparent contradiction. We resolved it satisfactorily, and there's no concern of shittas, of steroids. Everything is the way it's said in the Mishnah. Continues the Mishnah. Beis Shammai Oimrim. This fellow has a birdhouse. Some pigeons in there. So the pigeons are pretty much accessible to him. Tosfos says, we're speaking about pigeons that can't really fly away. There's no concern of trapping, but they're muktzah. You have to designate them before Yom Tov. Say Beis Shammai. You know how you designate? Beis Shammai Oimrim Lo Yitol. He can't take birds on Yom Tov. Elim Kein Niyanam Bodyon. Unless he actually taps them, physically examines them, and confirms that he really wants this bird and that bird. That's a true hazmona. He's going to stick to it. He's going to use it on Yom Tov. And therefore, it's muchan. It's prepared. It's namukt. U'beisilil oimrim. You don't have to actually physically hold on to the bird. Oimed v'oimer. He just gets up, takes a look at his birdhouse, and he says, Zevazani noitel. This one, that one, the one with the long tail. I'm going to take that tomorrow. By doing that, he is mazmin it. He designates it. And he can use it the next day. Why do Beis Shammai require Nianua to go and tap it, to shake it, to physically examine it? Amar Rav Chanan bar Ami. You know why? Machlekes bevrecha rishonah. Rashi explains that these birds, these pigeon breeders would actually leave the first set of birds in the nest. He says the pigeons, they lay 2 eggs every month. One will be a zachar, one will hatch as an akeva, so all throughout the year except the winter months. So come the new season, Nisan time, you leave the first batch there. This way the mother has some company and remains anchored in that birdhouse. So the derech was to leave the first hatch, the first batch. Machlokes brecha rishoina. And that's the topic of discussion in our Mishnah. B'shami say, that first batch, you want to really make sure that you're going to take it. So in order for it to be considered non-mukta, you have to actually lift it, pick it up, tap it, physically examine it, which will pretty much indicate, look, I'm not really having too much mercy on this bird, I'm tapping it, I'm examining it. It pretty much confirms that he's going to take it. They still are not concerned. They say, look, pointing it out, verbal designation is enough. Machlokes b'brecha rishona. Discussion pertains to that first batch. The Rishami Savri. Rishami hold. Unless you're actually going to physically tap it, there's a gzera. Gazrinon dilma osilam luchi. Next day you might walk over, pick it up, and say, you know, I'm not going to take this first batch, put it back down. In which case, his hachana was now cancelled. Turns out that he touched the muktzah. Therefore, Beis Hillel insists on physical examination. Go ahead and pick it up, tap it before Yom Tov, which will indicate that you're really serious about it, and you're going to follow through on Yom Tov and not second-guess yourself. Beis Hillel sabri lo yarzirina, they're not concerned. They say, look, verbal designation is enough. That's when it comes to the first brecha, the first batch, the first hatch. Avo bebrecha shniyah, but when it comes to the next month, Tivir HaKol all agree, you don't have to actually physically hold on to the animal before you want to get up and verbally designate, that's enough. Okay, says more, I understand. Bishama need a more serious type of hazmona. According to Beis Hillel, verbal is enough, mental is enough. The question is, why does he have to actually point to a specific bird? According to Beis Hillel, shouldn't it be enough just to say, you know what? I'm going to take from these birds tomorrow. Takes a look at his birdhouse, some nice birds there. I'll decide tomorrow which one I want to take. And whichever one I take will be the one I had in mind. Let's apply the concept of Brera. Let's determine retroactively which one he had in mind. According to Beis Hillel, why does he have to point to a specific bird and say, I want to take this one or that one? Why isn't it enough for him to say, I plan on taking from these birds? Less little brayer? Do you think perhaps Beis Hillel do not hold of brayer? You can't go ahead and verify later on and have that applied retroactively? But not. Listen to this Mishnah, where it would seem that according to Beis Hillel, we do apply brayer. Hameis bebayis, you have a mace in a home. V'loy psachem harbi, which has many doors and windows. Kulon tmein, all the doors and windows are tummy. What does that mean? Rashi says it's a gzera d'rabbanon. Rashi elsewhere says, halach mashmir sinai, that since the mace is going to leave the home, so his entire exit route is tummy. Since we don't know which route he's going to take, through which door, which window he's going to be transported out of the house, all windows are doors are tummy, which means that if there's an item sitting within the doorpost or within the door, the window frame, even though it's not in the home, in the oil mace, that item becomes tummy. However, niftach echad mehem, let's say one of the doors were now opened, which makes it clear that the mace will be transported out that door. That becomes the designated exit route. Hu tamei, he remains tamei. The kulon tar, other doors and windows remain turn tar. They lose their tumah status. They're no longer going to serve as a yitzia for the oil for the tumah. That's if he made a mas, opened one of the doors. What about chishev lo yitzia ba'achad mehem? He didn't actually physically open a door, but he designated one door as the exit route. Or one of the windows, a window which is large enough in size to allow for the mace to leave 4x4 tefachim. That's also enough. That relieves all the other doors and windows from their tumah. This has become the designated exit route for the tumah. Now we have machlekes. B'shami oimrim, v'hu shechi shev lo yitzioi ad shelo yomas ha-mace. When do we say that this concept works. That's only when it was before the mace passed away, before the tumah descended on the doors and the windows. Yeah, then you could open one and say, this is designated one, and all others are relieved. You can open one window. You can designate a door or window and have tumah apply to that when the mace will die, and all the other ones will be free of tumah. So you can do it going forward in advance, but not retroactively. So once the mace died and all the entranceways and doorways became tummy, you can't go ahead and say, I'm going to redesignate. I'm going to say, oh, that's the one. It doesn't work retroactively. You don't say Brera. This is the one that was meant to serve as the exit route l'chatchila. Too late. According to Beisil, we can say Brera. So even after the mace dies and all the doors and windows became tummy, that was because it was unknown. We don't know where the mace will travel. But once he designates one, he opens one or designates one, it's not only going forward, it's even retroactive. This is the one that the mace was going to use retroactively. So even after Misa Sameis, you can go ahead and apply the same method. Open a door, mimatire the other ones. Designate a door, mimatire the other ones. In any case, what do we see? According to Basil, you can complete a process today and have it applied retroactively. So back to the birds. I don't get up and say, I'm going to take from these birds tomorrow. Tomorrow, come back and take a bird. This is the one I had in mind. So on Yom Tov, you will sort of complete the process which was initiated Erev Yom Tov by applying Bereira. Says the Gemara, no, that's not pshat in the Mishnah by the mace. Ha'itmar lo, we learned a pshat on this Mishnah. Amar Rabba. No, all agree that it's not going to work in the reverse. It's not going to work retroactively. L'tayres ha'psachem mekana labo. Even Basil will not apply Brera. They won't say, well, it's been determined that this was the doorway that the mace was supposed to use. No. It only works going forward. So what's the machlek? It's b'shameh hold. If you actually physically open a door, so what happened? The mace died. All doors and windows assumed tumah out of uncertainty. Then he actually physically opens a door or opens a window. All agree. This is the exit route. Everything else is toyer going forward. But if you only had a machshava, that's not enough according to Beis Shammai, because once the doors acquired tumah status, a machshava alone can't uproot that, can't cancel that. Even going forward. Whereas according to Beis Hillel, even a machshava can accomplish that. Once you designate one door, one window as the exit route, everything else becomes tar. Even according to Beis Hillel, the point is just going forward. It's going to be mitar everything else, mikano labo. Mikano labo in, only going forward, I'm afraid, but not retroactively. Let's just stop for a second and summarize the halacha of the mace b'bayis. So the mace is in the home. The home has many doors, many windows. Initially, the Gemara figured that the machlokes b'shamay still regarding retroactive application. L'ma freya. Do we apply Brera to be metar all the other doors and windows? Whether it was done through a masa, by opening a door, or simply by designation, machshav. The b'shamay, no, it only works going forward, not going back. Kodim Basil goes back as well. That was the kasha we see Brera works. I responded, no. Luma Freya never works. It's only a question of Mekana Labo. So the mace is here. Everything is potentially tummy. So if he actually opens the door, all agree it works. That becomes the exit route. When he merely does it through Machshava, Beshamay say Machshava is not enough to change its status. So all those remain tummy. Kodim Basil, even Machshava can accomplish the same as a mas in this case, as long as he designates one door or one window to serve as the exit route. Everything else becomes tar going forward. Continues the Gemara. Rava Amar, lo'elim ma'freya. You know what? Let's go back to the initial pshat. Perhaps according to Beis Hillel, today's determination can accomplish even a retroactive accomplishment. If so, when it comes to the birds, Why can't he simply make this general announcement? I'm declaring I'm going to use these birds and come back tomorrow and decide which one. The reason over here is because there is a concern, a special concern. Perhaps if he only makes a general declaration without pinpointing which bird he's going to use, what might happen is tomorrow he shows up, picks up a random bird, and sees, this is not what I had in mind. This doesn't conform to my harsh standards. It's a poor quality bird. So he's going to be metaltal, pick up the bird, v'shavik, and put it back down. Metaltal, pick up another one, v'shavik, and place it back down. V'kom metaltal, midid loit chazile. So in effect, he's moving birds around which aren't really going to serve him. Those are muktzah. He only designated the birds which he's going to use. But filling birds around, that's not within that allowance. So that's a concern here. And therefore, we obligate him to go ahead and pinpoint. This bird I'm going to take. That bird I'm going to take. In this case, it's going to remove that concern of being metaltal unnecessarily. He says, well, what do you mean? How is that going to address this concern? But Amris, but you're telling me, but Imid v'Imid, Zer v'Zani Noitel Sag, getting up and saying, I'm taking this and that, that's okay. How does that remove this concern? He didn't actually physically tap the bird. He's only going to do that tomorrow. When he does that tomorrow, he might discover it's not what I had in mind. So again, we're back to the concern of Mukt. Hamni Milim Erev Yamta, says the Gemara. The fact that you mechayiv him to walk over to the birdhouse and announce, I'm taking this and that. He's going through this whole procedure. What for? That makes him mindful of the fact there's a muksa issue here. He can't just freely touch any bird the next day. So come back the next day, he's going to know, I have to take the one that I identified yesterday. Aval b'yamtev asa. But in the case where he didn't specify, he made a general declaration, I'm going to use from these birds, and he comes back tomorrow to pick them. In that case, it's asa, because since he didn't really designate any specific birds yesterday, he's relying on tomorrow's picking. And what happens tomorrow? The zimna de mishtachi shmenim. It could turn out that the ones that appear plump and fatty and high quality, when he picks it up, poor quality, khushim. And I'll put it back down. Ukhushim, or conversely, things which look weak and poor quality, shmenim, might turn out to be nice and plumpy when he picks it up. In which case, once he starts moving things around unnecessarily, become a tatl, midil lechazle, he'll be handling moktsim more than he needed. But by being mechayiv him, by obligating him to specify, identify in advance, he's going to commit himself to those. He's not going to second guess his decisions. He'll say, okay, I know, I have to go follow through. This is the one I identified, no questions asked, pick it up and use it. Inami, there's another concern, not necessarily related to muksa, but the reason why we are mechayiv him to get up and say, zeh v'zeh, according to Basil, is because zimnu de mishtakhi kulik chushim. If he doesn't actually identify which one's going to take, he just makes that general declaration relying on the fact that the next day he'll pick the ones that he likes. You know what might happen? He'll walk over to his bird nest, he won't be happy with any of them. This is a kush and poor quality birds. V'shavaglu, and he'll just leave them alone. He won't do a shechita. V'asir lehem nuyei misimchas yantiv. He might deprive himself of simchas yantiv. He won't actually check to anything, because he'll be in shock. This is not what I had in mind. He'll be totally surprised. These aren't birds that I really want. But if you go ahead and tell him that erev yantiv you have to be mevarer and say these and these, then he's pretty much committing himself to the cause. He's not going to second guess himself and go over, pick it up, and use it for Simchas Yom Tov. So there's a psychological element here, Rashi says. If it's undefined, in the back of his mind he's thinking, look, I might find some good birds tomorrow, I hope. But when he walks over and he's disappointed, he's not going to do anything. He's not going to use it. He won't have Simchas Yom Tov. But in the case where he commits himself and he says, that one looks good. So that's it. He's not going to start reevaluating that decision next day. That's it. I decided this, I'm taking, that's it. Next day he walks over, he picks it up and uses it. So you have two pshat of why, even according to Beis Hillel, although he doesn't have to pick up the bird and tap it, that was Beis Shammai, according to Beis Hillel, getting up and making that general declaration is enough. Getting up and making declarations is enough, but it has to be a specific declaration. This one or that one. Either because we're concerned about muktzin, because unless he does that, he won't realize that he can't just go ahead and pick things up freely at random. That's a muktzin concern. A second shot was the fact that we tell him to identify and to label which one's going to use, make that decision now. Don't rethink it tomorrow, in which case he'll go over, pick it up, and use it. Otherwise, he might second guess the quality of his birds and not use it at all. Okay, so let's summarize the Mishnah and the Gemara. We spoke about being making birds in advance of Yom Tov. According to Beis Shammai, you have to pick it up and tap it. According to Beis Hillel, just labeling, identifying which ones you're going to use is enough. The Gemara tells us we're speaking about the Brecha Rishon, that first pair of birds, which are generally left behind in the birdhouse to keep the mother company, keep her anchored in place. Therefore, according to Beis Shammai, it's not considered designated for Yom Tov use unless you pick it up and tap, in which case you've pretty much indicated I'm going to take it. According to Beis Hillel, verbal declaration is okay. Zevedani noit. Either. Because you can't make a general declaration and rely on Breira. Next, they come back and pick the ones you want and say, this is the one I had in mind, because Breira according to Beis Hillel doesn't work. Or, according to the next Teretz in the Gemara, theoretically, Breira would work, but unless he actually identifies the one he's going to take, he might not realize that he can't just go over the next day and pick up and put down, pick up and put down. There's a muksa concern. So identifying in advance will remove that concern, according to the second Teretz in the Gemara. Otherwise, we're concerned about being disappointed with the results of his find and not doing Simchas Yom Tov. And that concern is addressed by advance identification. Continues the mission. Okay, so he walked over to his birdhouse, prepared some birds. Comes Yom Tov, things changed on him. Zimen Shchirim. He repaired blackbirds. Matzah Levon comes back on Yom Tov, he finds white pigeons. Levon repaired white ones. Matzah Shchirim, he finds black ones. Or Shnaim repaired two birds. Matzah Shloisha, he finds a gas, three. In all these cases, we say Asurim, they're considered Mukta unprepared. Then we'll explain the background, the reason for all these halachas. What about Shloisha Matzah Shnaim? He started with three and ended with two. Mutarim, we say it's okay. Let's assume the third one flew away, but the other ones are the two remaining of that group. Mesoichakan, what if he prepared the birds inside the nest? Matzalfneakan, he found them outside the nest. Asurin. We can't be confident that these are the same birds, and therefore they're muktz. Timein sham elahim. What about from the entire area? All you have are these birds? Then there's no concern of any other birds having arrived. Hare'ilu mutarim, and certainly they're mutar even in this case. Let's go back to the beginning of the mission. He prepared black, he found white. He prepared white, he found black. We say it's us. Pshita says Zigmar, of course. How could you think it's mutter? It's the wrong ones. Amar Rabach, my skin was speaking about the following case. Kigoy Shazim and Shchirim Levan. What happened was, he prepared both in advance. He had two compartments in his birdhouse. One containing white birds, the other one containing black birds. He prepared them both for Yom Tov use. Kigoy Shazim and Shchirim Levan. He gets up the next morning on Yom Tov. What does he find? They reversed. Umatzah Shchirim, he found the black birds. B'makom Levanim, where the white ones were. Ulevanim, he finds the white ones. B'makom Shchirim, in the compartment next door. So he switched apartments. Ma'od Tema, perhaps there would be room to say that it's Mutter. Hani Inu Ninu. These are probably the same birds. V'shafuch, v'shapach, they just switched apartments. And therefore, they're both mutter. These are the ones that he was mazmin. The chiddush is in the Mishnah. No, kamash malan. We say it's aser. We have to speculate that perhaps your birds disappeared. Hanach azdul alma. Yours flew away. V'hanach rinininu. The ones that you found are other ones. Why then would they be in the wrong compartments? So it's a suffix. And when it comes to an essay like this, which is a davar sheyesh lamatir, and we discussed it back in Nav Gimel, even a suffix is us. Continues the Gemara. Now the fact that you're telling me that there is a concern that perhaps these birds arrived from the wild, we attribute the birds that you found to the general world bird population, rather than saying that the birds came from next door, right? You prepared white ones in this birdhouse. You found them next door. Question is, did they arrive from the birdhouse next door, in which case they're mortal, or did they arrive from the general world population? What are the factors here? To say that it came from next door would mean that it originated from a makom karov. You have that closeness there. Right? It's probable that it came from next door. On the other hand, you have a roiv working against you, because the general world population of birds are certainly more plentiful than the birds just next door. So there are more factors leaning and leading in the direction of muktzah. So bottom line is, when you have an equation and you pit closeness against majority, it seems from the Mishnah that majority wins. And therefore we speculate that these birds originated from the wild and are muktzah. Lema Messiah the Rav Chanina, perhaps this is the writer of Chanina, who held likewise. Domar Rav Chanina, Roy Vakarev. Let's say you're faced with an equation that has two elements, majority and closeness. Halech achar rav, you follow the majority. Our Mishnah seems to be supporting Rabbi Chanina's halach. Answer the Gemara, not necessarily. Because in our case, perhaps, you have karev, closeness, on both sides of the equation. How's that? Kedamar Abai tells us later in the Gemara. Bedaf, we're speaking about a birdhouse that has a ledge, sort of a porch, in front of it. Hachanami Bedaf, here as well, we're speaking about the same type of birdhouse, which has this daf, so it features this resting place where many birds come by for a quick rest. There's a rest stop for the general world bird population. So now the equation is as follows. You have the white ones, the compartment to the right. Wake up the next morning, you find them in the left compartment. So what's your shaila? Where did these birds originate from? They come from the right compartments, so they're mukhan. These are the ones that you prepared. So you have a karoiv factor there in your favor. Or perhaps they came from the daf, from this ledge, upon which many, many, many birds perch. So that's also karoiv, and that's muktz. Not only is it karoiv, you have roiv there as well, because who are many? Who are more? The general bird population in the world are more than the ones that you prepared. So you have the roiv factor working against you as well. So it's not closeness versus majority. It's not roiv versus karev. Here it's karev telling you mutter, next door. This karev telling you aser, the ledge. Maybe they came from there. And you have roiv as well, because there are more. You have more muktzah than non-muktzah. So here it's aser. But perhaps when you have roiv versus karev, who says that the roiv overrides? Continues the Gemara. Shnai masa shleish asur. You started with two, you end up with three. It's us. Manavshach. Because there's no way to figure this out. Yachrininu. Either way, it's muktzah. Say it's a brand new group. Yachrininu. So it's a brand new group. Muktzah. Vilo yachrininu. Suppose it isn't a brand new group. Meaning two of these three were prepared. Well, you don't know which one. You have one muktzah mixed into the two. So you can't use any of them. Ask Tosis, what about bittel? Tosis says, tuturutzim, a balchai is not bittel, it's chashiv. Or because, remember, it's a davar sheyesh lamatir, and it's a limited time iser. Muktzah is only a Shabbos v'yantav iser, and therefore it's not going to be bittel. Continues the Gemara. What about shloisha matzah shnai mutar? You started with three, you found two. We assume these two are the remnants of your original group of three, and they're mutter. My time, why is it mutter? Hani inu ninu. Let's assume this is the original group. V'chad minay, ozal alma. One of them disappeared. Says the Gemara, now we're going to get into trouble. Leima masnis and Rebbe, evil Rabbanon. Perhaps our Mishnah is only following Shita's Rebbe, and not the Rabbanon. We went to follow the Rabbanon. Meaning, our Mishnah, which tells us, you start with a large group, you found only a small portion of that group. You don't have to worry that the entire group left and a new group arrived. No, perhaps only one member left, and the other two are the original ones. That's Shitas Rebbe. who splits apart a group? Rabbanim say all or nothing. The fact that you found a different quantity than from when you left it, we have to speculate. Perhaps it's a brand new group. The son, as we find in Abraham, this fellow has money, which is Maser Sheni money, right? Which he transferred the kedusha of Maser Sheni. It's meant to be taken to Yerushalayim to use for food purchasing. So he has a sort of a box there, a container, into which he places money. Hiniach mana matzah masayim. So he put in 100 coins in mana, and he comes back and finds, oh, the money grew, 200. So he placed 100 coins. He placed the mana of Maser Sheni money in this container. Comes back and he finds double. Chulun Maser Sheni muravin zebezed divi Rebbe. According to Rebbe, we assume that half of it is the original Maser Sheni. He added another 100. So you have a mixture here. No, hakol chulun. It's a brand new batch. Why would he go ahead and add his own money to the Maser Sheni and create confusion? It's not probable that we have the original money. Perhaps he doesn't remember, but he took away the Maser Sheni money, the 100. Came back and placed his own money there. Hakol chulun. That's where he finds more. What if he finds less than he left? Hinech masayim matzah mana. He left 200 and comes back and finds only a mana 100. So what should we say here? Mana munach, we assume that the mana that he found is the original Maser Sheni money. Umana mutzah, what happened to the other mana? He took it away. Tivir Rebbe, so according to Rebbe, we split up the group. We split up the bunch. So that's because he ended up with half the amount that he left. Doesn't mean it's new money. He took away half. Likewise, when it comes to the birds, he started with three, ended with two. Let's assume one flew away, but the other two are the remaining two of the original group. V'chacham, ayim remakal chulin. Chacham say, why? Why would he go take 100 of his 200? He didn't go to Yerushalayim. You take the entire bunch when you go to Yerushalayim. Why would you simply take away 100 of his Maser Sheni for no good reason? So let's assume for some reason he decided to empty the box. He took out all the Maser Sheni and came back a day later and put in 100 chulin. So going to Rabbanan, it's all or nothing. Likewise over here, he started with three birds, he ended with two. We should be choishesh. The original group is no longer here. It's a brand new group and it's all moktzah. Ah, filotem Rabbanan. No, the Mishnah could be found even Rabbanan. Here it's different. Birds are different than a piggy bank. We learned an explanation on that price. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lezer, Dami Tavei, they both explained. Shani Gezolis. Birds are different. They're bound to hop around, to jump around. It's certainly plausible that one of them jumped away and two remained behind. When it comes to money, money doesn't pick up and leave, Rashi says. How did the money disappear? How did you start with 200 and end with one? It's not probable that he takes away half the money without taking the entire money. Therefore, say the Rabbanan is all or nothing. The fact you found less than you left is an indication that you emptied the container of its Maser Sheni money, and whatever is found is chulin. So we thought we had a kasha from the Mishnah. The Gemara is machalik. Birds are different than money. Says the Gemara, why do we even need to say that teretz? What was the kasha to begin with? V'lama li lishnu yalo. Why did we find it necessary to answer a kasha on this? Shani gezolos, birds are different. Hayul v'asurin l'dadis, because they're going to hop around. There was no question to begin with. Why? Let's take a closer look at that Mishnah of the Maser Sheni. V'itmar lo. We learned a pshat on that brisa. V'itmar lo da'hi. To Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lezer both provided a pshat, each one in his own way. Chadam one explained. B'shnei kisen machlekes. So he started with 200. He found only 100. You know when the Rabbanan say, when Rebbe says that we split the bunch, we say, well, the 100 left behind is Maser, even though you found only half of what you left. That's only B'shnei kisen. When you started with two bundles, and 100 coins in each. So over there, Rebbe says, perhaps they picked up a bundle and left. Makes sense. So, b'shnei kisen machlekes. Avo bekisecha, but if they're all lying in one pouch, they're not called chulin. All agree it's chulin. Meaning, if you left 200 in a pouch, came back, you found 100. Why would he take out some coins of that pouch of Maser Sheni? It's not mistaver, it's not probable. All agree. He must have taken the entire supply of Maser Sheni and came back a day later and put some chulin money here. So according to this pshat, I understand why there was a stira, a kasha between that Mishnah of money and the Mishnah of birds. Because birds are like two pouches, right? Two separate entities, two separate birds. And if in the case of the two kisim, we said there's a machlekes, that the Chachamim maintain it's all or nothing. And over here by the birds as well, they should say all or nothing. If you left three and you found two, it must be a new group. So you understand why we had a kash and why we had to answer. Birds are different because they hop away. Okay? V'chadamar. Now there was another shita, right? Between Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Lezer. One explained, as we just said, and the other one explained differently. V'chadamar, because echad machlekes. When all the money is sitting in one pouch, then we have a machlekes. Meaning then, Chachamim say it's all or nothing. Avo b'shnei kismoron, it's two separate pouches. And you come back and you only find one. Divrei HaKol all agree. Mana munach. We assume one pouch with 100 is the original one. Mana mutah, what was taken? The two separate entities aren't connected. So now let's analyze. B'shleim elamad domer. It makes sense that according to the Shita who said, b'shnei kismoron achloikas. And the Mishnah, the Brice over there, Rebbe and Rabban are speaking about two separate pouches. And that's when we have machlekes. That's when the Chacham say that it's all or nothing. And Rebbe says, no, let's assume he left one and took one. So now we have a kasha from birds. Because birds are like two kisim, two separate birds. And if the Chacham say by two pouches, it's all or nothing, then why are birds different? You started with three, came back and found two. Let's assume it's a new batch. Because, you know, birds like to keep each other company. Why would you say that one left without the other ones? The fact that you found two must be a new group. So that's a kasha. Why do we say it's mutter? That compelled us to answer the teretz. Hacha shani, birds are different. Haini yisrach shnui hacha. Shani gazolas, birds are different. Hoyle vasun ledaz, because they're bound to hop around them. It's only natural that one might have jumped away and left the other ones behind. So you understand why we needed to answer the teretz. Right? Because the machlekes by Maser Sheni was pertaining to two pouches. Chacham say, left two, found one. Let's assume it's a new batch. Why is it different than birds? The difference is birds jump around. Elo lemando amar bikis echad machlekes. But according to the other explanation, the machlekes only applies when it's one pouch. So when he left the 200 in one pouch, came back and found 100. Over there, the Rabbanon say, it's not probable that he removed 100 from that pouch. It must be that it's new money. But if he started with two separate pouches, came back and only found one of the two, Divrei HaKol all agree. Even the Rabbanon agree in this case. Two separate pouches. Mana munach, mana mutal. Let's assume one pouch was removed and one remained behind. And that's Maser Sheni. If that's the pshat, then what's the kasha tal Mishnah? Birds, they're disconnected. It's like two pouches. You can separate them. Hashta, lamali lishnu yala. Why do you have to answer anything? What was the kasha? Ha amris, haven't you just told me? Mishnah kisim like pligi. When it's two separate bundles, it's no machlekes. Birds like separate bundles. So if we left three and we found two, let's assume one disappeared. And two were left behind. So even the Rabban would agree that it's mutter in this case. Amar Rav Ashi. We have to redefine the definition of kis echad eshnei kisim. It's not one bundle and two bundles. In both cases, we're speaking about two bundles. The difference is, kis echad means the bundles were tied together, like one package. And in that case, Rabbanan say that it's not probable that he would have taken one without the other. Bishnei kisim, which means two separate, unconnected, untied bundles, over there they agree. Perhaps he grabbed one and left one behind. When it comes to birds, we're speaking even in the case where the birds were tied together. So what is it? It's like kis echad. It's one bundle. It's one package deal. It's all or nothing. So why do we say if he left three and found two, these are the original two? According to Rabban, you can't say that. You can't split the group. Omar Ravashi, Hocha Begoizolos Mekosharim, we're speaking about birds tied together. Vikisim Mekosharim Maskinen, bundles tied together. And the Rabban considered them as one. So why by the birds could he split them apart? And that's why we had a kasha. And that's why we had to answer. Because as opposed to birds who jump around and will disconnect from each other, you can say one disappeared and two were left behind, and they're mutter. Packages, bundles, don't disappear, don't disconnect and disengage. And since they were tied together, it's not probable. He would have detached, taken one and left the one behind. Okay, so what does Rebbe hold? They're tied together. How can you say that we split them? Rebbe Amalach, Rebbe responds, you know what, kisin nami, even when it comes to bundles, money pouches, zimnin, at times the misakel kitrayu, they're not, can loosen up and unravel. And perhaps that's what happened. Originally they all were tied together, but so happens that with the passing of time they got unraveled. He walked by, he found a pouch, he picked it up and left one behind. Okay, so conclusion. This fellow left 200 and came back, found only 100. Should we say it's the original 100 Master Sheni, or is it new money? In two versions. According to the first version, what is Shnei Kisen, which means the pouches are not tied together? Then we have Machlik, as Rabbi says. Let's assume he took one and left behind one. So it's Master Sheni money sitting. According to Rabbanon, it's one package. Why would he take one and leave the other? Let's assume it's new money, it's chul. But if it's Kisechel, which means they're both tied together, it's really one deal. Going to all shitas. The money found today is brand new money, it's chulin, unconnected to the previous fund. Going to the second version of the Gemara. When the pouches are disconnected, all agree. He probably took one and left one behind, which is Master Sheni money, from the original 200. Whereas if it's tied together, then we have the machlekas. Going to Rebbe, perhaps it got unraveled, he took one and left one behind, and that's Master Sheni money. Going to Rabbanon, it's one package, we don't separate, it's all or nothing. Since he didn't find the same amount that he left, let's assume he took the original master and left the chulin behind. Now, according to Rabbanon, that when it's tied together, it's one bundle, all or nothing, we don't separate. So when it comes to the birds, do we say that when he left three tied together and he found two, we say one disappeared and two were left behind? The answer is because birds jump around. So what did we learn today? We had a machlek, a stira, regarding the shittes by Simchas Yontov. Rabbi Yechon says we have to reverse the shittes to make them in line with and consistent with each other. How do you prepare birds in advance of Yom Tov? According to Bishamai, you have to actually tap them and examine them. We're speaking about the first batch, which is usually left behind the birdhouse. So you have to really commit yourself, which would indicate that you're really preparing it. According to Beis Hillel, verbal designation is enough. And all you have to say is, I'm taking this and that. Why do you have to designate? Why can't you just rely on your later determination? The answer is, ain't brera. Or even if yesh brera, there's a concern that he might actually go ahead and tap around his birds and do unnecessary muktzah. Or you might decide it's not up to par and not shecht anything and ruin his yamtiv. We had several cases in the Mishnah. He prepared black and white and then they switched locations. We're concerned perhaps they came from the general bird population of their muktzah. He started with two, ended with three, certainly their muktzah. He started with three, ended with two. It's okay, even if they're tied together. Let's assume birds run around. According to all shittas, we can assume the ones that you found were the two from the original group and have appeared in advance for Yom Tov. Kol tov to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.